Hello and welcome to the Guelph Politicast. I'm Adam A. Donaldson of Guelph Politico. Today I talk to members of the Transit Action Alliance of Guelph, or TAG, for our quarterly discussion about all things transit called the Transit Pass. This is the third edition of the Transit Pass, and we have so far covered a lot of ground, so to speak. The aim, of course, is to keep transit issues front of mind and with a new long-term plan involving transit now in progress, as well as recent announcements about changes to both local and regional transit. The time is right again to have a sit-down and talk public transit with our friends from TAG. Getting around on the bus is the topic of this week's Guelph Politicast. TAG Chair Steve Petrick and Board of Directors member John Marchese join us again for this edition of the Transit Pass, but let's start with a brief recap of transit-related news. First, there are changes coming to Guelph Transit this fall, what they call minor tweaks, really. But two old routes are canceled, and a whole new one is going to service the university area. And meanwhile, at the regional level, the province and Metrolinx have added three new trains to and from Toronto along the Kitchener Line, making it possible to travel east after the morning and west before the evening for the first time on the GO train. In thinking about the slightly more distant future, the city of Guelph right now is in the process of developing the Transportation Master Plan, which has three main objectives. The first is to ensure the new plan is consistent with current policies, including the official plan and other master plans that have been approved since 2005. The second is to recommend new policies and guidelines that reflect our community's vision and that balance mobility, environment, and efficiency while prioritizing safety and access for all travelers. And the third is to explore how new and evolving technologies and travel services will shape the future of transportation in Guelph. Basically, if you walk, ride a bike, drive a car, take a bus, or even push yourself around on a non-electrified scooter, the city is looking to plan the future of getting around town, and they are right now in the public feedback phase of developing that plan. In other words, there's a lot to talk about, but in addition to that, I've been struck by a thought that I wanted to run past members of TAG the next time they came in on the podcast. Are the people that take the bus part of the problem? Do we as transit riders have a role in making the ride more open and comfortable to everyone? How is our bus etiquette? So this week on the Guelph Politicast, we'll hear from Steve Petrick and John Marchese about the latest transit news and why everyone who's concerned about transit or just getting around town should give their feedback to the Transit Master Plan. We'll also look ahead to the fall and the budget debate and how TAG hopes her advocacy is making transit a priority and how that will bear out in the deliberations. We'll also talk about how riders themselves can make using transit a better experience for everyone and some of our transit pet peeves. And finally, Petrick and Marchese will talk about TAG itself and what they're working on and what's coming up in the fall. So I caught up with the members of TAG last week in studio. Okay, we're back for another Transit Pass. So just for people to we'll be able to differentiate the different voices of three dudes in one podcast, can you guys just introduce yourselves?
I'm Stephen Petrick. I am the elected chair and president of TAG.
I'm John Marchese, and I'm just an ordinary board member of TAG.
Far from ordinary. why don't we start with the breaking news that we got three more GO trains coming to and from the area today from on the Kitchener line, which does go through Guelph. So, what are our initial thoughts on that so far?
Well, we're kind of in the same boat as Mike Schreiner said in his news release, was that, it's great for a step, but obviously we really want to see that two-way all day GO service. A lot of these trips are to Toronto and from Toronto, but they're really in awkward times, so it's not quite, what we'd like to see, and there's still no weekend service or holiday service, but it still is a good positive, a good step forward.
Yeah. Although they had special trains on for, one of them was the Jehovah's Witnesses convention. Yeah.
Which proves that it can work on
it
weekends.
It can work, Yeah, it's weird. I think what the government is going for is, trying to achieve something, because I think what the past government was, we need everything perfect. And I think I mean, it'll remain to be seen, but I remember in January when they added the new train, and then for like a week and a half, it was effed up because they, you know, perhaps...
Yeah, they took away the rush.
They took away the express one.
Really right. Did not help. Now they've added an express at 6.
Yeah.
So and that's like double, you know...
Yeah.
And that kind of thing. And today's announcement as well, too. That kind of thing just makes it very difficult for us to say, well, they haven't done anything.
Well, that's it, too, because I think what the government was, like, we want to get every single... The last government, I mean, every single duck in a row, and then, boom, we'll have all day, two-way. And it never comes every year. It's like another promise. It's coming. And it'll be interesting to see whether the incrementalism, and it's hard to believe you're using that in the sentence when it comes to the Ford government, then this incrementalism towards two-way all day, if that's a better move than waiting until the ducks are in a row. Anyway, let's talk about what's been going on with TAG since the last time we got together back in, I want to say, April? Anyway, yeah, there's been an AGM since then, am I right?
Yeah, we had our first annual general meeting where we passed our bylaws and elected a board of directors.
Mm-hmm.
And we just pretty well went through everything we accomplished in the first year, which was a long list, which I'm not going to repeat here. But some of it is, we feel like we had an impact of getting staff to acknowledge certain issues with the transit business service review.
Mm-hmm.
We had 3 counselors join us on riding the bus. We have a column, of course, in the Mercury Tribune that I write. And we've been kind of boosting our social media and other elements as well. So we're slowly building up. And the next 12 months for us is really critical because there's a lot coming down the pipeline from the current transit transportation master plan, and then the transit growth strategy afterwards in 2020.
Mm-hmm. Well, then let's talk about that. Is there an organized TAG? Because I know that the transit master plan that's open for public feedback right now. What's the TAG message? Like, what's the TAG feedback?
Well, we are going to be hopefully hosting a transit summit that will involve the transportation master plan, as well as some other special guests. We're still in the planning stages, and we'll definitely have some news about that hopefully in the next few weeks. But I did sit down with the Jennifer Joost, who's the transportation master plan person, along with GCAT members, and we had a nice conversation about how we can work together on and getting that input. And some of the pilot projects they're going to be doing, which is a dedicated bike lane and possibly a dedicated transit lane. But, of course, they have to get their ducks in a row over there. So it may or may not happen because, obviously, resources are thin these days, unfortunately, due to changes that have been handed down from above the city. We're just kind of promoting it, and we hopefully will, when we do our transit summit, we'll have a nice workshop around it as well.
John, what are you looking for in the transit master plan? As a regular board member.
As a regular, I thought you were going to say as a Guelph Transit writer.
Well, as a Guelph Transit writer, I mean.
Well, I want more frequency and more coverage. I just want to see that, before they get too deep into new routes and making any changes, I want to see them doing some bona fide public meetings or getting input from the public to find out what the public actually wants, what the priorities are, and then making sure that that's what they actually do as opposed to just, that's all I wanted. I just want to make sure that it's a solid plan and it's founded on what's wanted and needed in the city.
It's worth pointing out, too, that the Transportation Master Plan, not just about transit, it's about roads, it's about active transportation, biking, walking.
Yeah, it's a complete suite of everything. Yeah. So transit it's not how the buses, how much they run frequency-wise or anything like that. It's the bus gets stuck in traffic. For example,
right.
You can go on the website on the Transportation Master Plan website, and there's a map, and you can drag a pin over and put down where you there's a problem area. You can say, well, there's traffic here. And then you can put a solution. You can say, well, we could put transit priority measures in this intersection. And of course, you can also say, well, this is a, another area where there's good stuff happening as well. So that's, you know, that's one thing. If you go on it right now, you'll see along Gordon Street, our group already put down, put transit priority measures along Gordon at major intersections, because we feel that's a should be a top priority in this master plan.
Absolutely. We've been hot for that all along. I mean, even when Steve and I were both on the Transit Advisory Committee and we first heard about it years ago, we were excited. And then we keep hearing way into the future. I mean,
they had a report and then they buried the report.
It was a tease. It was like a tease.
And then they, staff left and it just became, you know.
Because it seems so doable, you know.
Compared
to other things, it's
the low cost and a big win.
You know, you mentioned having like dedicated transit lanes. That's like sounds dangerously close to having rapid bus transit.
BRT.
Yeah, and that's something you can also mention in the Transportation Master Plan is, like, do you want to see BRT? I know somebody mentioned they would like to see LRT, but I don't think our density is going to ever get there.
No.
Unless they extend the LRT from Kitchener, but I don't think that'll happen.
Well, the LRT, I think, is having its own density issues, the ION, because it's suddenly when it wasn't free, people decided that they were going to go back to their car. You know, thinking about where problem areas are, anywhere there's a train crossing.
Yeah, that's definitely one. And I noticed on the I've been looking at people's different comments, and they've also mentioned that in a few areas. And some of that can be solved with just routing of specifically buses. Obviously, it's about how we route our buses kind of better. But there's really not much we can do about a lot of these crossings because they're not in our control usually, except for the one we own.
Well, yeah, and but you know, thinking about like this is kind of me centric because it's on the buser that takes me home. But like the intersection of Paisley and Edinburgh, or that's like a very busy train stop because there's a lot of
shunting.
That's where they do a lot of the transfers and stuff. Plus, there's still like factories along that route that they stop at and pick things up. I mean, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't happen every day, but you definitely notice when it happens. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely, you know, when the train or when the bus like falls 10, 15 minutes behind, there's an effect on the system.
Yeah, I know that they are looking for that input too, that it includes that. So I would encourage people to go online and say, well, look, this intersection, this train stop, this train area is always, you know, slows us down, and you know, we got to find solutions to fix it. And I'm not sure what those are, but there are good professionals there at City Hall that can probably figure that out for us.
So you guys are confident that this is going to be something? I just like a cynical me. It's like I know one of the things I noticed on the master plan page is that one among the background documents they have is the transit. What's it called? The transit
growth strategy.
Growth strategy from like 2009.
Well, as they explained to me, this is a top down document. So once they're done figuring out kind of how everything works together, they're going to look at the transit growth strategy, which will look at you know routes, and then they're probably going to look at the bike stuff again, and obviously walking and all that. So I mean, it's. That's their approach. I mean, I don't necessarily like it because I've seen what Edmonton did, and they did it a little different where they went up, getting all their ducks in a row first and then looking at how they can combine it all. So it is what it is, and we're just kind of go forward and see if there's any holes in it. You know, I think they can adjust it. Staff seem confident in it this time. Obviously, the previous Transportation Master Plan didn't go so well. But staff seem more confident now in it, and it's a good time, you know, with the climate change and all the environmental stuff. It's really a good time to jump on into encouraging multimodal transportation in Guelph.
Well, we'll see. well, let's talk about, like, sort of the immediate future. I imagine you guys might be concerned, like I am, that, you know, we're looking down the barrel of maybe some budget cuts, that they're going to be looking for places to cut. And it just seems to me that one of the, in fact, I wrote a piece about it, that the first place they always look to cut, maybe not the first place, but top 10 first places is usually transit. You guys worried about that?
Very.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm always worried about that, especially the less popular, the less traveled routes. I mean, talk about low hanging fruit.
Mm-hmm.
So, Route 3, obviously.
Yeah.
Is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But from what I understand, is council's own agenda and the community plan as well has put transit as like their top issue.
Mm.
So, you know, if that's their top issue, then any cut is definitely not going to look good on that if
right.
they've all agreed this is their top issue. So, you know, when it comes to budget time, it's really, it depends on what actually is proposed, if anything is proposed, to have people come out and speak about transit.
Mm.
You know, other groups have been very successful. The library group was successful. The Neighborhood Coalition was successful in getting money for them. Like, we really need a good 25 people that go and speak about transit and say, look, we need you to put more into transit.
Mm-hmm.
It's a win-win-win. It's a win for the environment, economy. Every dollar you put in it gets $3 in economic spinoff. You know, it's time. We can't be twiddling our thumbs and being cautious with it. We need to be bold with it.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that Steve hit the nail on the head with that one. For my own feeling, you know, for having spoken to counselors and seeing what they've written and said about it, is that they do seem to be interested in improving transit.
Mm-hmm.
The reason for that, they probably heard, you know, gotten a lot of complaints from regular citizens. And for the most part, I think the counselors do try to do what the people want.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we need to have a very good showing at budget time or anytime any transit issue comes up at council, because we think that if you show them that it is important to a lot of people, then, you know, we have a better chance that, you know, we'll get positive things for transit.
But Steve, you talk to, you know, people in, you know, the position to actually enact these things probably more often than most people, but, you know, you sound kind of upbeat about the odds that it seems that, right, that, you know, it's...
Yeah, I mean, I understand where we're at due to the provincial changes.
Right.
And I'm optimistically cautious on this, but yeah, I hope that if council's made this a priority, that staff are going to be, you know, not looking at it with, you know, a broad stroke of cuts, but I mean, we can accept small adjustments because they are doing route reviews as we speak.
Trade-offs.
I mean, we can accept a little bit of trade-offs. A fare increase would not go over well without putting any improvement in the service.
Yeah.
Even though some counselors have said, well, look, our service reviews said everyone is somewhat satisfied, so everything is, you know, all sunshine and rainbows. Well, that's not quite true. It just means that people are content with what they got, and they've given up almost after years of complaining that there's been real no movement.
Let me phrase that another way.
Oh.
They think it could be worse.
Could be
absolutely
worse. It could be worse.
And I mean, it's a matter of, like, glass half full, glass half empty, but I think it's more of the glass half empty. That it's like a glass could be a quarter full.
Yeah.
All right. One of the things I wanted to talk to you guys about, and mostly just to find out if it's like me, if it's like a me thing, but, you know, you guys are the experts. One of the things I'm wondering about is like, we're looking at the city and saying, like, how can you improve transit, like, with new routes, new buses, new money? But I'm wondering if there's something, like, we ourselves, the people who use transit, if we can do things to improve the transit using experience. And I'll throw out a couple examples, and maybe you guys have ideas of your own. But one of my pet peeves is people who stand at the front of the bus and talk to the driver. John's nodding his head. John's on that my train of thought there. So, yeah, it's a pet peeve for you.
Absolutely. Okay. And especially when I see that it's creating a pinch point and
yes.
people can't get past them. And most of the drivers won't say anything about it either.
Right.
You know? And drivers, my buddies out there, please don't get mad at me for saying this, okay? Because you know I love you, but you got to get those people out
right.
away from the front of the bus and make sure that people can get on and off.
Yeah. Well, I think it's like, you don't want to be rude, and you know I know that a lot of drivers come to know like the regulars and the regular passengers and the people they see every day, and like, you don't want to be rude, and you don't want to like, but I think there has to be an acknowledgement that there's a big white sign above the dash that says don't talk to the driver while the coach is in motion, and it's not about like not wanting to talk to you and not wanting to hang out, but it's about safety because you know. No distractions, right?
Yeah. I've had drivers miss stops because of that.
No, so have I, yeah.
And me, yeah.
Yeah, it's dangerous, and it's not great for the user experience, too. It's if you want to get more people on the bus, too, the driver should be accessible. So if someone can ask, like, when do I get off? And that's hard to do when the driver's already in, like, a steady conversation with somebody else, too.
I have to admit, I do talk to almost all the drivers, especially the regulars that I know, but I'll sit in the first seat and I'll talk from the distance, and I will not stand there next to the driver, though. I won't do that. And obviously, if they're busy, I won't do it at all.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so,
Okay, good. Okay.
Because you don't want to take the humanity out of the whole thing either.
No,
that's, that's part of it, too, is that, like, a lot of... If Guelph Transit engenders any goodwill at all, mm-hmm. it is through like the actions of the drivers when
Absolutely,
the drivers go
yeah.
the extra mile to their credit, right? So you don't want to shoot that in the head and you know sacrifice that aspect of it, which is a very positive aspect that the drivers are very customer friendly in that regard.
Yeah. The other thing, and this is part of the same thing too. Making sure that they have people leave at the back of the bus, especially if there's a big crowd waiting to get on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if there's nobody, then it doesn't matter, obviously, but especially the 99s, okay? They have to get people to exit from the back when it's busy.
Traffic control is a big one. Like, not like the traffic in like the cars, but like the traffic inside the bus. Because along with that, one of my bugaboos is when, and it seems to be young people a lot, like the high school and university kids a lot, they will walk to where the back door is, which is like more or less the middle of the bus, and lie there, not like lie down, but like establish a base camp there when there's a whole other back of the portion of the bus that they could move on to. And I wish the drivers were a little bit more on the hickory switch about like no all going to the back means all the way to the back.
Well, and why won't they use their PA
they have the PA
all the way
they
back,
also
please.
Detect the recording that they could push a button and it could tell them to move back. Now I don't know why the city doesn't use that either. The other thing I think to really help is people need to take off their backpacks.
It's
been something that Go Transit does a great job promoting that. You got to take your backpack off and hold it in front of you. And other transit systems too. Guelph just doesn't seem to touch that very much. But I find it every year with the university students, it's like there's that big backpack in front of my face and it's just take it off, put it in front of you. It won't, won't hurt. It won't run off.
And the earbuds or headphones that just take you right out of the world.
Yeah,
you
it'll
no idea
give you
what's
a little
going
bit more space.
Yeah.
I'm guilty of that too, come to think of it. But I mean, I try to compensate with more visual awareness. The university kids, yes, but there are a lot of high school kids with 80 pound backpacks with every textbook they've ever.
Everyone who's got a backpack can really do that.
Yeah.
Especially on the crowded bus.
Don't get me started on the kids with musical instruments.
It's allowed, it's on the rules. No toboggans.
No toboggans, yeah. Well,
skis are okay?
No, skis are not okay.
Oh, okay.
I have yet to see a toboggan, but I mean, maybe it's good, like, fair warning ahead of winter. Make sure everyone is aware. Another little pet peeve on my list is people who don't signal to the driver that they don't want that bus. Like, they're at a stop with multiple where multiple buses go past, but they just stand there and let the bus pull up, and I don't like acknowledge, yeah. like don't like, because I try to do that where I'm like. The one I'm thinking about is across the road from the library where the 99 and the 11 pick up. Mm-hmm. And if the 11 comes around, because usually I never want the 11. But yeah. I always like make a signal like cutting yeah. across my neck, like, no, not me. And
some people just step back and make sure.
I do that too, yeah.
Yeah, same here.
The
same
one
here.
In front of Vienna is pretty notorious for northbound buses and people just standing there. And
yeah.
they want to go south and the northbound stops. And it's like, well, look, you know, you got to do something, you know.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yes,
yeah.
kind of thing.
And that's a pincher, like stop yeah. right there because yeah. it's, you know, it's right there by the island. And you know, it's always busy downtown on McDonough, and
yeah.
it's tough. It's so I think like just like helping. It is almost like directing traffic, like helping direct traffic by that. Like, no, I don't need you. Please mm-hmm. move on. Mm-hmm. I'm waiting for.
And if you really need them, you know, wave. Make sure you wave them down.
Yeah,
get them, especially at nighttime.
Yeah,
I know. I've heard a lot of people missing a bus because of, you know, it drove by because it. And they say they were waving, but you got to really be, you know, waving.
Make eye contact.
Well, I mean,
there's places where the light isn't so great. So if you're, like, wearing dark colors,
yeah.
then, you know, you fade into the background. And, you know, night yeah. driving is tricky no matter how good your eyesight is and no matter how good your headlights mm-hmm. are. So, yeah, it's... I'm not saying you have to wear a safety vest or anything, but...
No, you just got to make sure yourself noticeable.
I mean, I like to wear black. I'm dismal like that, but, you know, you have to...
It's 1990s all over again?
They were a great time.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, good old days, everybody. The good old days.
I'm probably going to get in trouble for this one, but strollers and walkers.
Now, they bought those new buses
yeah.
with those seats in the back half that
yeah.
all flip up. But then they didn't realize that you can't get your stroller through the between the front part and the middle part.
Yeah.
And it just drives me up the wall because I'm like, well, there'd be enough room for you guys, but somebody kind of made a boo-boo there.
Mm-hmm.
And the other problem, though, these strollers is that, and I know this is a controversial...
we're in controversial waters, yeah.
It is that... sometimes it's not necessarily a baby in that stroller. And I've noticed
Thank
that a
you.
Lot of times.
I agree. Yes.
And no offense, but sometimes, you know...
No, no disrespect.
Very, very... it's very interesting. And sometimes I go, okay, well, that's an interesting stroller with interesting items.
Right.
Okay, I can deal with that. But we need to make sure it's open, you know. I've seen seniors come on board and they've had to walk
yeah.
a little farther. And, you know, I want to make sure that they at least aren't having to go that far down, especially if they have a walker.
Yeah.
You know, like they can't get through that little area as well. It's a very odd bus design.
If I can also add, and I realize that, you know, people are sometimes at the whim of their schedule, but timing, because I was on the bus before school let out, and there were four people with strollers on the bus, and it pulls up in front of GCVI at 3:30. Tell me what happened next.
Couldn't get on that bus.
A lot of people probably ended up not getting on the bus.
Well, I mean, it was yeah. a fortunate circumstance where I think the 11 or the 20th pulled up behind the bus, so the number
right,
of the kids
right.
were able to get on. But I mean, I've noticed this, that I think there are certain bus routes, and maybe this is a matter of education, or it's a matter of, like, maybe going back to the transit master plan, that, you know, we can address this through like an extra bus or something at these times. But I mean, there are times you can predict
yeah.
buses are going to be abnormally
yeah.
busy, like 9 o'clock and 3:30 when mm-hmm. school gets in and out, like here at the university at 5 o'clock when people are done classes and work for the
yeah.
day.
That's where the growth strategy comes in, because those
yeah.
numbers, they'll look at routes and how where routes go and things like that. Well, the master plan is kind of looking at the bottlenecks and the other
yeah.
you know, other
yeah.
issues. So you can put on the map if you want to say that there's, you know, too many people here and I can never get on the bus, that's perfectly fine because it will still trickle through the whole system.
Mm-hmm.
But it would definitely be more really important come 2020 when they start looking at where buses go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or you can come to our transit summit and learn a few things and be able to speak your mind as well.
Yeah. Solid plug. So I just... to go back to stroller design, like a lot of those strollers are sort of like designed to not like go onto vehicles, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're
but you know
big.
What?
Yeah.
Steve and I have both been part of many, many discussions about strollers at transit advisory committee meetings,
yes,
actually.
Yeah.
And management is adamant that the rules are that they're supposed to collapse them.
Yeah.
And walk onto the bus and... I have never in my 11 years of driving Guelph, being a passenger at Guelph Transit, seen that happen, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen it in any transit system.
No.
I mean, I've
no,
been on
I Mississauga, think,
Brampton, Toronto. I mean, I've never.
I think the people with those items think it's their God-given right to bring them onto the bike. And, you know, and... you know,
no, you're right. It's their,
kid,
but I think,
but
you know, there's a cognitive dissonance. I think that you know, I'm just gonna like, you know, this is me. I'm gonna do what I want. I do remember a time when it was a little bit more enforced. This was like years and years ago. This was like when I was in university here, like so almost 20 years ago. That you know, if someone got on with a stroller or a shopping cart, like one of those little fold-up shopping carts, the driver would say, "Like, hey, you got to fold that up." But I think that's as you were alluding to, it's like, "Hey, it's my kid," and you know, maybe in the best interest of just like sort of moving on with your day, you don't want to start a thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but I mean, there are times when I think that sort of laissez-faire attitude doesn't go because it creates this bottleneck usually at the very front of the bus that makes getting on and off all the more harder and I think creates a certain level of
and
discomfort.
It slows them down too.
Slows
big
them down.
Time.
Yeah.
You get two strollers
yeah.
On a 99 and that's enough to add 5 minutes to how late they're going to be, you know, to their time. So and yeah, the
but I find wheelchair users are much quicker than strollers a lot of times.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I mean because wheelchair users are in their chair. There's a certain mastery over the
tight little turn into
yeah.
It.
That you know they're always trying to get around places because Lord knows the world isn't as accessible as it should be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you know, strollers you don't have them all the time. So it's a little bit. Yeah.
I have noticed though in my years of riding Guelph Transit that most of the strollers do not show up during the busiest times. At least in my experience, anyway, they seem to come out when the times are that they're not so busy. So
maybe this is just my experience.
Yeah,
because you know where I take the 10, and it goes you know around the West End, past the West End Rec Center, and there's a lot of there's been a lot of development in that area, a lot of new apartment buildings, so a lot more people. You know, the West End Rec Center is a very popular destination. Of course, the Zares Plaza is right there. A lot of shops and things that people visit. So a couple of schools on that route. GCVI is on that route. So it's, you know, maybe it's something unique to that system. But I think that if we ride every route, you would probably discover these things. And, you know, again, it's a situation, and we were talking about this before we started recording, where... the bad experiences stick out more. Like you can have 10 really great experiences, but then you always remember the one bad experience.
Well, the best solution to a lot of this is that a lot of our routes should have more frequency.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty simple for us. Our group has said this. Like we need a more frequent base system with, you know, there's all that growth in the West End.
Mm-hmm.
It could all be transit-oriented. I remember recently at a council meeting, they were talking about the development there, about parking.
Yeah.
And they were talking, one of the councilors commented that, you know, there's not enough transit and walking there. Well, the thing is, you haven't built it to be transit-oriented or active transportation-oriented. It has, that whole area has potential for ridership, but we've done lackluster in that whole area. And I think we're dropping the ball, you know, in my opinion, in that area. We may not get those riders because they're going to have their car already.
Well, the West End is kind of an interesting incubator because there's a lot of amenities in the West End because there's the one at Paisley and Imperial and then along Silver Creek. But you can't really take a bus from Paisley and Imperial or in that area, you know, sort of along Imperial and go directly to Silver Creek. You have to go around downtown and get the 11 and to get. Yeah. So it's like a half hour. And I think that gets back to when I think the big problems trying to increase transit use in Guelph is that to take the bus right now for a lot of trips. Easy. Yeah, it's 45 minutes to an hour to get somewhere when it's a 10-minute drive.
Yeah.
And that's, it's, you know, so you're making a sacrifice in terms of your time.
Yeah.
And that's not an easy sell to people in this day and age.
And that's why we're going to host a transit summit, because we really want to promote those ideas out there that, you know, frequency and coverage, what that really means, and, you know, explain why your bus is late, what you can do about it. You know, we really need the people out there to understand these concepts, because a lot of people just complain, throw it on Twitter, throw it on Facebook, and then, you know, it goes into the you know, World Wide Web there, and it doesn't do anything for anybody. We need you to speak up, go in front of council, come to our transit summit, join our group, you know, write letters to the editor, write letters to councilors. They want to hear you. Mm-hmm, I know a lot of people say they don't listen. Well, no, I can tell you there's at least half of council want to hear you on transit.
Mm-hmm.
And I know some other councilors that are definitely leaning more into transit now than they were before. So
it has changed
a lot since the last transportation growth strategy, which at this point I don't know where we're at anymore, because we've been through about 5 GMs at the same time. But you know, this is a fresh start, and there's a lot of new people at City Hall. A lot of new councilors. Well, I guess 2 new councilors, but still it feels like a fresh start in many ways, and because of the changes that have been kind of imposed provincially, it's now is really the time to get your voice heard, because we don't know, you know, what will happen if, you know, council has a change of heart on their number one priority for transit and transportation,
right?
Just to save, you know, a few bucks in the short term and have long term pain. You know, we need short term pain for long term gain. You know, transit pays for itself.
Mm-hmm.
You just gotta, you know, buckle up and put that extra couple bucks in there. In subsidy to you know, get those riders, and it just spins and spins and spins, and you know, it's a win-win-win.
I hope you're right.
Well, there's enough research to show it's right. It's just getting the people.
I don't mean your research. Yeah, no, I mean like the spirit people. Of initiative and, that's what I mean, is like research. Research is infallible. People fail.
We've dropped the ball many times.
And right.
I hope we don't shoot ourselves in the other foot at budget time.
Anything to add before we wrap up?
Well, we're talking about doing a transit summit. You've heard me mention a couple of times.
Yeah, it's come up.
We wanted to put it out there because it's going to be a chance for us to fulfill our part of our mandate of educating and empowering people to learn about transit and what they can do. We are working on getting some special guest speakers, and there will be an open forum portion as well, and we hope to get hopefully some people from City Hall to be involved with that as well. So this, we think it's a great opportunity for the community. It's something that's done in a lot of different communities in Burlington and Toronto. I think this is going to be a good thing, and we definitely need more people to help us out doing it, because we're still a small group and we're just working towards getting more members right now, which is a battle in itself, obviously, in this day and age. There's a lot going on, a lot of phones in people's hands, and not so much community involvement as I would hope, especially on transit.
Well, if people want to get involved, how can they reach out to you?
They can go to our website, which is taaguelph.com, or they can email us at tagguelph at gmail.com. So it's the same spelling.
Or just Google TAA. Or Google TAA Guelph. You'll find us.
There are other TAAs, but they're airplanes or something, but
yeah. Okay, fair enough. Look for
the only Tag Guelph.
Look for, yeah, all right.
Or on good Twitter enough. At Tag Guelph as well.
You on Instagram?
We are on Instagram. We just got on there, and we're at Tag Guelph as well, so we're everywhere now on social media.
All right, well, this has been good. I'm glad I'm not alone in my grievances. This has been therapeutic. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. You're welcome. Thanks for having us.
And once again, that was the members of the Transit Action Alliance of Guelph, or TAG, and you can learn more about their group at the TAG website, taaguelph.com. TAG will return for another transit pass before the end of the year, and in the meantime, you can contribute to the City of Guelph's Transportation Master Plan update now at haveyoursay.guelph.ca/transportation. And that is it for this edition of the Guelph Politicast. The music for the Guelph Politicast comes from KPM Classics, Ed Siddale. You can download the Guelph Politicast on Wednesday from iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify, or you can download it from the host, Podbean, at guelphpoliticast.podbean.com. Also, when you subscribe to the Guelph Politicast channel, you will get an episode of Open Sources Guelph on Mondays and an episode of End Credits on Fridays. You can get in touch with me by email at adamadonaldson@gmail.com. Reach me through Twitter at adamadonaldson or at Guelph Politico. There's also the Guelph Politico Facebook page at facebook.com/politicoguelph. And if you'd like to help build a locally sourced independent media outlet in the city of Guelph, then please consider donating to Guelph Politico, and you can find out how at guelphpolitico.ca/donate. And for all the latest local political news, check out guelphpolitico.ca, where there will be a new episode of the Guelph Politicast for you next week. And until then, see you next time.